question to begin this morning. Are you moving in the right direction? Truth is, you're moving in some direction in your life, but are you moving in the right direction? What we're going to do this morning is look at a direction in which a specific woman was moving in her life. We're going to see what God did as a result of her moving in that direction. Then we're going to just look at a couple moments for how that affects us and what we can do to move in that same direction. We're in a series, and we're continuing here. It's called Living During Difficult Days. And today, moving in the right direction. Now, there's a number of things that you can be doing to be moving in the right direction. What I'm going to do is just pick out one today based on the passage where we're at and just talk about that for a little bit, because it's one that everybody can immediately begin to move in that direction. Now, without having seen, well, John hasn't even seen the outline today, what do you think that direction is? What is the one key I'm looking at today? Do you have any idea? Sometimes people tell me, I can always guess your blanks. My daughter said that, and then one time I asked her in church, what's the next blank? And she said, I don't know. All right, we're going to look for one quality today. Again, it's something you can begin immediately, and it will assure that you're moving in the right direction. As we continue our story, what we know is that there was a family. There was a famine in the land, and this family moved from Israel to a place called Moab, not very far away. Now, we found out in that first lesson we were together that the problem with that is that God said, live in Israel. And as we looked at that whole decision, we recognized, be careful when you make decisions that you don't violate God's will. God has a specific will for His people to live in the land. And God does have a specific will for us and the way He would want us to live our lives and to honor Him. We continued as we followed that story. Things got better in Israel, and after a period of time, the family moved back, although the family was much smaller at this point. At this point, Naomi's husband had died. This is a real great story, isn't it? It is a love story, but her husband died. Both her sons died. And so you're left with three ladies. And so they made the decision to go back to Israel, but only Ruth and Naomi went back. Another lady, another daughter-in-law, was named Orpah. And we saw this last week, and she made a decision to stay and follow her gods, the gods of the country of Moab, which were not gods at all. And Ruth made that amazing statement as we looked at this last week. My God will be your God. She was talking to Naomi and just knowing Naomi and the kind of woman she was and the kind of mother-in-law she was. She had some amazing qualities. And so we looked at that last week. So they arrived back. And there was a big to-do in the town. It's Bethlehem. It's not a huge city. It's just a small town. And they knew who she was. And she comes back into town. And she kind of gets settled here. But we've got huge problems. She has no inheritance. She has no land. We're talking about Naomi and Ruth. And they're destitute. They're poor. They have nothing. And so, that's where chapter 2 begins today. Now, what's interesting about chapter 2 is we're going to start really climbing up the hill. Things are going to get much brighter very quickly here. It's been pretty dismal. It's been pretty hard and difficult. But this chapter turns the corner in the book of Ruth. Some amazing things happen. We're going to look at those things together. Are you ready? Are you sure? We can go home right now. All right. Very, very good. Let's open to Ruth chapter 2. If we went home right now, there's tamales with Travis. Maybe not, huh? And I'll show you how to eat them. I'm very good at that now. All right. Doesn't take me long to figure that stuff out. All right, very, very good. Let's begin moving in the right direction, okay? So we're in chapter 2. They've come back. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. Now, Elimelech has died, but she has a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a larger group of families. a man of standing whose name was Boaz. All right, so the first sign of hope in this book, really, at this point, is she comes back, there is a relative. Now, if there's a relative, there's some very positive things about that in that day in that culture. There may be help, there may be deliverance, there may be a lot of very good things. The guy's name is Boaz. He's a man of position, a man of wealth, a man of standing in that small city, Bethlehem, and in that area. He's a landowner. He's also a man that loves God, and we're going to see that. And let's see how the story develops from there. So, it begins in that way. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." Okay, the last verse in chapter 1, barley harvest. During the harvest time, the fields are, the wheat has grown, the barley has grown, and what they would do is they would go through and harvest it, but there were people who were really poor, destitute, that would follow behind, and they could pick up leftover sheaves of this and pick up stalks. I mean, it's not much, but they would do this, and that would be one way that people who had nothing could at least get enough for the next meal or maybe the next couple of meals, and it was a common practice. So Ruth and Naomi come back, and Ruth says, "I got to do something here. So I'm going to go out to the field, and I am going to harvest whatever I can harvest." And Naomi recognizes this as something that is very good to try and help both of them out. Her care for Naomi comes through in the desire to do this, and just her desire to work and to improve their situation. "I'm going to go work for food." Verse 3. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. By the way, as it turned out, this was no coincidence, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. So she decides to go out, and obviously God is at work here, and she ends up in this field of this man named Boaz, and she starts working. All right, now as we look at those first three verses, she is moving in a specific direction. In the decisions she makes to come back, to support Naomi, she then, when they do come back, says, "I'm going to go out and work. I'm going to make ends meet. I'm going to be resourceful. I'm going to do everything I can." All right, on your outline, then, it says this. Are you moving in a direction? Now, she is moving in a specific direction here. And let's see what that direction is. And the first statement, I think it's in a box here, is this. Are you moving in a direction to work and help others? Are you moving in a direction to work and help others? She didn't just sit there and have a pity party. She didn't just sit there and do nothing. She made a commitment to work and to help others, and specifically she is helping Naomi in this situation. All right, so evaluate your life for just a second. Are you moving in a direction to work and help others? Okay, next statement. Are you concerned for others? By this action, she is showing concern for Naomi. She's showing concern for herself also, obviously, but she is concerned for her. All right, and then the final statement here is this, to be kind and caring for others. Are you moving in a direction to work and help others, to be concerned for others, and to be kind and caring for others? Kind and caring for others. And this kind of gets us started with this whole chapter. Now, we're going to look at one quality here, and I'm going to kind of tell you it. Now, this is interesting. Mike Tornkel, would you leave your coffee up here? My goodness. Is it your? It doesn't say it's not your name on it. There we go. It's Edna's. Oh, okay. Edna, would you stop doing that? I bet you 1,000 times you would find Mike Hornkel's cups all over this church. And the one time we have Edna, yeah, it's right with him. Very good. Edna, try and, you know, keep your stuff off the stage, would you? Bless you. This is being kind and caring to her. No, it's not. All right, that is an example of not what to do. I thought it was Mike. That's why I did it. All right. To be kind and caring for others. The quality we're talking about today is kindness. What we're going to see in this chapter is Ruth models it towards Naomi. Then we're going to see some interactions between Ruth and Boaz, and we're going to see kindness there. Today's the word for today, for lack of a better way to say this. What direction are you moving in? You need to be moving in a direction that is demonstrating kindness and caring for people. That is the message, basically. Let's see how it continues to unfold here. But I think it's better that I give you the point, and then we can go through and see how it plays out. All right, so there we go, the first three verses. Okay, verse 4, back to the fields. Boaz just then arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Now, this seems like a guy you'd want to work for. This seems like a guy you want to be around. He comes in, hi guys, how are we doing? God bless you. Have a good day as you work. And they respond back to him, which shows that there's some relationship there. There's some caring there. And Boaz is really a neat guy, as we're going to find out. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters. So he walks over to the foreman, and he points out, and it's Ruth. Whose young woman is that? Now, the reality is, folks, I think he knew exactly who that was, but he asked the foreman. Verse 6, the foreman replied, she is a Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said to me, the foreman, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the fields and has worked steadily from what? Morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. All right? Kind of a neat thing. God's clearly at work. The field she happened to find was Boaz? No. God's at work. God works through circumstances. He guides and directs. And it's just an amazing thing to see that in this story. He then, what does Boaz do? He then protects her. It could be a dangerous place to do this and to be out in these fields. Not to mention, folks, it's hot, it is dusty, it is difficult, and you're just picking up. I think I gave you the analogy a couple weeks ago. The analogy is this. When they would go out and pick up after and try and gather up enough, it would be like us recycling aluminum cans. I mean, if you don't, you know, if we just throw some cans in there like we do in our recycle thing, you know, a couple a week and whatnot, I mean, that's the equivalent of what they would make today if, you know, in doing this. So there wasn't a lot to be made there, and a lot of hard work and difficulty as well as danger. But Boaz does what? He steps up and he protects her because I'm pretty sure, I know he knows who she was. All right, now, you remember a couple weeks ago when I did How to Be a Desirable Woman or an Appealing Woman? I talked to you about a couple things. We talked about eye appeal. We talked about nose appeal with, you know, in that verse. Here, and I also said to you ear appeal, didn't I? Watch how Ruth handles this conversation, and this would be the fuller explanation of that point that I made. Ruth responds, verse 10. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about you, what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Wow. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Verse 13. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and you have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. Just interesting how she handled that whole conversation. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in wine vinegar." That doesn't sound real good to me, but that's what they ate. "Give me tamales." All right. But anyway, it doesn't sound good, but that's what they ate. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. That goes over well in 100-degree heat, doesn't it? She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." All right, so what would happen is they would get a bunch of stalks, they would bundle them in a sheaf, and then what he is saying is go ahead and just take some of those things out, and if Ruth is traveling behind the harvesters on this side, throw some out this way. I mean, it's that obvious. Not over to this side where the servant girls are, or maybe right in here, but throw them out to Ruth. And even if she goes over to these things, they stack them and pull some out, don't embarrass her. And that kind of stuff would happen, and the workers in the field would say, "No, don't touch those," to the people that might go to those bundled areas and do that. But don't do that. But in this case, Boaz says, "Let her go ahead and have that. Let her have whatever she wants." All right? Ruth was moving in a direction of kindness. We saw that at the end of chapter 1. We saw that now in the beginning of chapter 2. I'm going to go and work. I'm going to try and provide for us. Now, it's interesting. As she's doing that, and by the way, when you have kindness, God is well aware of it. Well aware of it. He leads her to a field. He leads her to a man who has an interest in her. I mean, there's no denying this. And he is kind and generous to her. She has demonstrated it first, and then in the story here, she is now being repaid in kindness. I think there's just a general principle. On your outline then, understand this. Understand that, excuse me. Often when you are kind, you will get paid back in kindness. Often. I didn't say this is a promise, but in this story it's unmistakable. She has been kind. God is well aware of that. He knows because, you know, there's a reference in Matthew about giving a cup of water in my name. He knows when you do something kind for somebody. He just knows. And it's interesting, when you treat people that way, often, often, you can be repaid in kindness. You can never overdo kindness, folks. You can never, never, never overdo it. And be aware that when you are kind, nobody else may ever see that. But God knows. If he knows about a cup of water, come on. He knows when you are kind. This is a direction that we need to be all moving in. All right? Let's continue. We are at verse 17 now. Verse 17. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Now that was one long, hot day. Folks, don't get the idea that it's nice, balmy weather. It's hot. Mike and Edna have been to Israel a number of times. And any harvest time, it's hot. And it's really difficult. And so it has been hot and difficult and hard. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered. So they would take a stick and break off the barley, which you would keep. And it amounted to an ephah. All right. When we talk about an ephah, it doesn't make much sense to us. But let me tell you what. For her to spend one day and to harvest an ephah would be a large amount. You know, you might get this much of work from a day, a small bowl. She has an ephah, a sack, a large sack. This is from all the stuff happening to her and God's blessing and the workers throwing sheaves at her and her working hard and all that, but it was much more than you would normally do in a day. Okay, verse 18, she carried it back to town and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered and her jaw dropped. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. And so Naomi says, what happened today? Where did you glean? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. Now, at this point, her jaw really dropped. The Lord bless him. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, he has not stopped showing his what? Kindness. There's the key word. This is it. His kindness to the living and the dead, she added. This man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Kinsman redeemer, a word that means absolutely nothing to us because it's cloaked with all kinds of cultural references. He is a close relative, is the idea. They use the word kinsman redeemer. Close relative. Let me read you a little bit about what a kinsman redeemer would do. And I'm quoting here out of the study Bible. It's this. The kinsman redeemer was responsible for protecting the interest of needy members of the extended family. So, from the clan of Elimelech, Naomi is a relative, and there's the relationship. To provide an heir for a brother who had died, the kinsman redeemer would do that. To redeem land that a poor relative had sold outside the family. They did sell property, but if the kinsman redeemer could redeem the land back or buy it back, he would do that. To redeem a relative who had been sold into slavery. There was slavery going on at some times, and the kinsman redeemer would reach out and try and redeem the slave that had been sold into slavery. And to avenge the killing of a relative. Avenger and kinsman redeemer are translated the same word. Naomi is encouraged when she hears that the Lord has led Ruth to the fields of a relative who might serve as their kinsman redeemer. This moment of Naomi's awakened hope is a crucial turning point in this story. So they're sitting around the table enjoying this food, and she said, look what God has done. Folks, he has brought us back. He has led us to a specific field, to a kinsman redeemer. Folks, the story is starting to go up now. It's been pretty low to this point. It really has. Everybody's death and dying in chapter 1 and destitute and poor. Chapter 2, that's still not much better. But now it's starting to go up and up as God is at work. All right. Let me read the last couple of verses here. 21. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all the grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good for you, my daughter, to go with the girls, because in someone else's field you might have been harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Oh, it's getting better. It's still not good, but it's getting better. Wait till next week. Next week is very cool, what's going to go on in this story. All right. Here's what I need for you to do. You saw what we've been talking about. The key word is the word what? Kindness. Kindness. Demonstrating kindness in so many ways. There's just so many ways to do this. It can be helping somebody else. It can be giving a gift. It can be kindness. You can do this. You can do this immediately. This is not something you need to go pray a lot about. Go. Be kind. And see what happens. All right? Let's do this. On the outline, evaluate yourself. I'm going to give you a couple things to think about here. Evaluate yourself. Okay? First question to ask is, are you being kind? Some of you need a little kindness. Instead of put a little love in your heart, put a little kindness in your heart. Small things, little things, bigger things, great big things. Be kind. Okay, are you being kind? All right, second thought here. If not, look at Jesus Christ. Interesting. Jesus Christ, who did he have the biggest problems with in his ministry? The religious leaders, right, of the day. They were forever worried more about his position and power and influence. These knuckleheads. They were, but in his ministry to children, kindness. Towards people who were sick, kindness. He could heal. He could do all these things. And that's why many of these things are recorded. Jesus Christ modeled acts of kindness all the time. If not, look at Jesus Christ. He is our example. He is our witness. Okay, next thought here. Don't forget the judgment seat of Christ. All right, we're going to talk about this just for a moment. I talk about this because it comes up. We bump into this all over the Scripture. Don't forget about the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, two judgments. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers only. Believers who have trusted Christ, we are in heaven. We give an account. You and I will give an account. And one of the things we want to be able to do is say, I tried to be kind. Here's the verse that tells us, and I tried to demonstrate this, Lord, but you know that. Okay, don't forget the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at, is it 2 Corinthians 5:10? Okay, this is his verse. All right, read this with me. You ready? For we must all appear. Hang on. How many of us are going to appear? Okay, this talks about every believer. Nobody's exempt from this. All believers. The judgment seat in the culture of that day was called the Bema, and it was just a seat, and they would come and give an account. This is what this idea comes from. For we must all appear, here we go, together. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. All right, good or bad? Bad in heaven? Okay, I believe there are Christians that are going to do that, unfortunately, do nothing for God in their life. Sit and do nothing. And I believe there could be embarrassment at the judgment seat of Christ. Whether good or bad. What you want to do is not worry about the bad. You want to, with acts of kindness, work on the good. Anything. So many things we can do that are acts of kindness towards people, especially today in this economy, in this time. Whether good or bad. Okay, so judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account. And if he knows when you give a cup of water, he knows every other thing you do. We can't keep track of that stuff. Amen? Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Final thought here. Final thought is this. If you are not moving in a kind direction toward people, folks, you need to make what is called a U-turn. That means you go in the other direction. If you are not moving in a kind direction towards people, today's message for you is make a what? U-turn. You can do that at any time. Unlike our intersections sometimes you have U-turn block. But with God, you can make a U-turn at any time. Move in a direction of being kind to people. That's what I think the great lesson here. The story is a relationship beginning between Ruth and Boaz. And it begins with kindness. He knows what she did. And she was kind to her mother-in-law. Therefore, what did he do? He demonstrated kindness to her. Now, make no mistake, he's interested in her. But he still demonstrated kindness for her. Bow your head for just a second. Here's what I'd like you to think about. Just for a moment. How can you be kind this week? There's a neighbor. There's a friend. There's a family. Sometimes kindness can just be words. But sometimes kindness can be a cup of water on a hot day. Sometimes kindness can be many, many things. Demonstrate kindness. You never outgive God. We talk about that especially in money issues, but forget money right now. In kindness, he knows. Work on being kind this week. Reaching out to those people. Lord, this morning, as we finish this great little lesson, And we see kindness demonstrated in your word through Ruth and through Boaz. This week, we're going to come into contact with many people. I pray your spirit will remind us, I need to be kind to that person. And we don't do it for motivation, for a reward maybe someday. We do it because we love you. And yes, one day we will be rewarded. We're going to throw those rewards as crowns at your feet. Lord, help us to work on being kind and caring to other people. That is the beginning point of the gospel so many times. Lord, that we would pray about how you would use us, that we would demonstrate acts of kindness, and then, as relationship is built, invite and encourage others to come and to know you. Lord, thank you for this story. Such a cool story. Tucked away in three or four pages in the Old Testament, and yet such an important part of your work. Lord, I pray as we continue on and next week we move to other parts of this story that you'll just guide and direct our thoughts and our time together. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, again, Amen.